Welcome back to the Jacob Bunn Show. A couple weeks off. David unable to be with us on our last show 2 weeks ago. And we were both off last week. We're back because this week is going to be a monster weekend in the world of college football.
No, monster weekend's already happened.
No, I'm calling this monster weekend, though. That's the trick. Jacob Bunn is declaring this weekend as monster weekend.
Is this the bunsports.com monster weekend?
Why not? You have.
We should sell sponsorship.
As a matter of fact, we are. We have two games with undefeated teams, and two of those teams are located here in the state, which makes the interest all the more exciting. Jeffrey Lee of AuburnSports.com is going to be coming up in just a second, but first we want to just update you on the headlines. Of course, as you probably well know by now, Alabama remains undefeated in the conference, 3-0. Florida stumbled but remains undefeated. Auburn undefeated. And Alabama travels to Fayetteville this weekend to play the Hogs. David and I will have a lot to say about that game in a little while, but first we want to preview the Auburn and South Carolina game. This game will be played on the plane, 6:45 p.m. kickoff on ESPN HD. Jeffrey Lee joins us now of AuburnSports.com. Jeff, appreciate you being with us.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me.
What do you think the biggest key is going to be this weekend? Auburn seemed to have trouble stopping the running game last week against Clemson in the first quarter. Marcus Lattimore, of course, is an impressive freshman. What do you think the key is going to be to Auburn to try to slow him down this weekend?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of keys to Auburn and winning and beating South Carolina, but I think before they start looking at South Carolina and what they need to do to stop them, it's really all about Auburn and what they're doing as far as being – everything is really inconsistent right now. You don't know each week what you're going to get. And until they, you know, get consistent and figure out and do what they do well, you know, it's hard to worry about somebody else, you know, when you're still trying to perfect yourself. With that said, you know, obviously you're going to have to stop the run. And they've done a very good job at that in the past. And you know, I expect them to try to stop Lattimore and make Stephen Garcia beat them through the air. And, of course, if I'm South Carolina, I'm looking at Auburn secondary and I'm licking my chops because they haven't been the most potent secondary in the SEC. They've probably been one of the weaker parts of the defense so far, which has been quite a surprise considering, you know, they were expected to be the strength with, you know, sixth-year senior Aaron Savage and fifth-year senior Zach Etheridge both back there. But surprisingly has been a hole in Auburn's defense, and that's probably one of the things that they're really going to have to step up and do. Stopping the run is one thing, but, you know, stopping the pass, stopping Stephen Garcia, making some plays, getting some turnovers is what Auburn's going to need.
Jeffrey, with the development of Cam Newton, he's starting to come along more as a passer than a runner. Do you think that will be a bigger part of the offense for Auburn?
You know, I thought it would have been, you know, the past 2 weeks and especially last week. But maybe, you know, there's still maybe he's still learning. Maybe he's still developing. Maybe, you know, just from talking to him and seeing him talk in the interview Sunday night, it seemed like maybe Malzahn was still holding him back a little bit. Some of the questions that were asked were, you know, did he need to spread the wealth more? Did he need to, you know, do this more? Did he need to slide more? And he just kept referring back to, you know, that's up to Coach Malzahn. That's up to Coach Malzahn. So I don't know that he's, you know, and talking to Ben Lear last week, you know, one of the things Ben Lear wanted to know was, you know, how much freedom does Cam Newton have at the line of scrimmage? Does he have the freedom to make a call, to make a check to another play, or is he given one or two or maybe three choices and then goes with what he thinks is best? So it's really hard to say right now where he is. I think Cameron feels he's more along than maybe Malzahn may be giving him and would like to change that. But, you know, right now he's pretty limited as far as what they've been able to do. It's either him dropping back and taking off, him dropping back and slinging it down the field, you know, 60 yards down the field. There really hasn't been an intermediate passing game, and I think that's something Auburn's going to have to be able to come up with. You know, if not this weekend, they're going to have to find it somewhere with the next, I think, 5 out of 6 games being SEC games.
Going to the other side of the ball, Coach Chizik in his press conference this week talked about physicality. Do you think that Auburn will take that thought into the game and be very physical like they were with Alabama last year and just commit all out to shutting down the running game?
Yeah, I think that's I really do think that's likely. They really, really, you know, preached on that this week. They had a very physical practice on Tuesday, all by design. And, you know, I just went back and watched. I was on the sidelines for the Clemson game. And, you know, even down there, I thought it was rough game, but not until I watched it on television and missed and saw some of the tackles and hits that I'd missed on the sidelines did I realize just how physical that game was, man. You know, the cart came on the field twice. You know, there were players hurt. The scoreboard wouldn't work. It was even hurt, the clock at least. So, you know, a real physical game. So it was surprising to see that, you know, they were preaching to being more physical this week. But maybe that's, you know, what they want. And if you look at the offensive line, I really think that's where the physicality is coming into. When it's not about taking people's heads off as a linebacker, it was the offensive line just getting blown, you know, off the line of scrimmage by Clemson's defensive front. They were just outmanned, out-physicaled, is a word that Tommy Tuberville used to use, by Clemson's front four. And, you know, that can't happen. You know, for Auburn to succeed on offense, they have to have a running game. And, you know, with in the first half against Clemson, in the first quarter, I think they had, you know, minus 2 yards of total offense. And, you know, they were trying to establish Michael Dyer, but it just wasn't going to happen. Clemson wasn't going to let it happen. And so when South Carolina comes to town, you know, that run game is going to be ever so important, so much so that, you know, they're going to have to be more physical up front.
David brought up the Alabama-Auburn game last year, and you know, Josh Bynes in that game came unglued and shut down the Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram. What player do you think on the Auburn defense has a chance to really just be an unsung player, has a chance to be a big key to the defensive success this weekend?
Well, you know, I think, you know, and it's not maybe so much as an unsung player, but, you know, Antoine Carter has kind of been a guy who's made a lot of plays. I think he's had 2 or 3 sacks this year already. He had one against Mississippi State, another couple of hurries against Clemson. I think he's going to be a great defensive end. I know he's a senior and he's played limited up until this point, but, you know, I think he's a guy who you can see playing on Sundays next year, and I think he's due for a breakout game. I really think he's a great rusher off the edge. He's got great speed, great instincts. He's built like an NFL guy, and you know, each week I keep waiting on him to have that breakout game, kind of like Nick Fairley did against Mississippi State. And I think Antoine Carter has gotten close, but I think, you know, he's still due. And I wouldn't be surprised if he comes along any week now, especially not Saturday night.
In terms of the flow of the game, some games, everybody thinks it's going to be a Big 12-like shootout, and it ends up being a very low-scoring game. And other games they think are going to be very defensive become very offensive. What do you think the story is going to be in this game as far as offense, defense?
Well, you know, you actually said it, you know, just how inconsistent it's been. You know, even going back to the Clemson game, everybody thought it was going to be a shootout. I'm sorry, the Mississippi State game, when everybody thought it was going to be a shootout.
Right.
And Auburn didn't score a touchdown the latter half of the second quarter, third or fourth. So, you know, it's really, it's like I said earlier, you know, you don't really don't know what to expect from this Auburn team. Is the defense going to show up? Are they going to come out like they did against Arkansas State? You know, is the offense going to show up, or is it going to come out like it did the second half and the first half? I mean, the second half against Mississippi State and the first half of Clemson. Real inconsistent all across the board, special teams to throw that in, too. So you really don't know what to expect with this team.
Right.
But you know that they're going to try to run the football. You know that they're going to rack up yards. You know, whether they can put points on the board remains to be seen, but I think they'll get it done. I think it'll be a similar score to Clemson – Auburn. I'm thinking maybe 30-27. Actually, I think that's my pick, 30-27 Auburn.
I know this is Steve Spurrier returning to Jordan-Hare, and it's not the Florida teams that Auburn always managed to upset in the 90s. But do you think that will possibly play into the game at all?
You know, I think Spurrier is obviously one of the best, and I think when he got to South Carolina, everybody was expecting such a, you know, a dramatic or immediate just turnaround of the program, and he wasn't able to do that in a state like South Carolina, where the talent isn't as rich as it is in Florida. Those freshmen don't come in. You know, Sands and Marcus Lattimore, just once every, you know, in Florida he was signing 10 Marcus Lattimores in each class, and, you know, at South Carolina he's signing one every 2 or 3 years. So it's taken him a little bit while to get that program built back up, but he's been there and done that. You know, this is, I don't know, he's probably been in the SEC more than 20 years now. He's been to Auburn several times, an old nemesis, you know, of back in the 90s. And so, you know, he's been there, he's done that. He knows how to prepare this team. He knows what to prepare them for. And, you know, and he's really got South Carolina where people thought he might have them maybe 2 or 3 years before. But, you know, he's really got that team looking like they're a contender in the East, and it'll be a great game, I think, Saturday night in Auburn.
Finally, Jeffrey, coaches always talk about identity. What identity do you think Gene Chizik wants this team, in a broad sense, in the entire season? What identity do you think he desires that this team have?
Just be physical. I think that's one of the things, you know, that he thinks that this team is lacking, besides being consistent on both sides of the ball and even on special teams. But I think, you know, on offense, he wants to be a run-first team. He wants to be a team that's explosive, a team that's got a fast pace, keeps the defense on their heels, and a defense that, you know, doesn't bend. Forget the bend, don't break. He doesn't want them to bend. You know, he wants some, you know, chin straps unbuckled and mouthpieces knocked in the grass. And he wants to score a lot of points, and he wants to hold them to nine. And I think what in order to do that, they've got to get more physical, and they've got to be more consistent, and I think that's what they're looking for.
Well, listen, we really appreciate you giving us some of your time.
God, I appreciate it.
Jeffrey Lee of AuburnSports.com. Joining us there, giving us a little preview of the Auburn-South Carolina game coming up, 6:45 ESPN Saturday night. Houston Nutt, I mean, how disastrous has that been?
Once he gets Masoli, it's going to turn around the entire thing. Do you think this is showing that Masoli was able to do this against a Pac-10 defense and when he had to been exposed to a real SEC-type defense?
I think that's an excellent point.
That he's going to have difficulty. Does this just show how much more dominant Tebow was?
Yeah, absolutely.
Playing against this SEC defense in and out. How awesome would his stats have been had he been in the Pac-10?
Oh, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. I hadn't thought about it from the Tebow angle, but it does. It does reveal how physical Tim Tebow had to be week in and week out, and the numbers he put up in this conference, the best conference in the nation, ridiculous. Can you imagine what he would have done in the Pac-10?
Man.
So, yeah, and then, of course, Mark Richt in Georgia. I mean, I could have predicted this coming. I mean, I said it before the season started. There's no way Mark Richt is going to have a breakout season, and Georgia's going to finish any higher than expectations. And they've already I don't know what the expectations were in Georgia for this season, but they have already. I'm sure that they have already underpassed those.
Richt, it's been said on one of our sister shows here.
Right.
He's a nice guy. He was relying way too much on his character and how great a guy he is. He's lost control of his program. You can see so with the number of arrests they've had over the past few years. Their defensive coordinator that was $750,000,
mm-hmm,
has yet to show anything. Their defense is looking atrocious. Their offensive line, which was supposed to be the strength, is getting abused week in, week out. A.J. Green, I'm not going to hold that against Richt because players are going to do what players are going to do. You only have.
I hold that against AJ Green.
You only have so much control over them. You advise them, hey, you can't do this. There was a rule made because of what we did back in 2002 about SEC championship rings. He's lost control. The problem is, are they going to gamble and get a Lane Kiffin, or are they going to gamble and get a Nick Saban?
Well, and you talk to some of the writers over there, and they're even wondering whether or not he's going to get fired. Now, a lot will depend on how bad it gets. And I know I say that. It's 1-2. He's lost to South Carolina and Arkansas. But how bad can it get? Well, it can get a lot worse if you go into Starkville this weekend and lay an egg against a team in Mississippi State that can play football. Now, they're not going to be world beaters, but they can line it up and play. So, I think a lot is on the line. But, yeah, no, I'll go back to what you said. I think you're right. Mark Richt, I have a tremendous amount of respect for his character and who he is as a person. But let's not try to paint the Georgia program as being the shining city on a hill as far as where programs, standard of programs. I mean, Georgia, don't they have a player getting arrested or selling a jersey or hitting cars in the parking lot for fun once every 3 days? And they can't even, I mean, they have lack of athletic director control. I mean, Richt has lost all control of the program, so, you know, he is a great guy, but his program, not a great program, especially standard of excellence, as you know, we hear, and I hate to keep beating a drum, but Nick Saban talking about a standard of excellence in everything you do, not just on the field, and obviously Georgia is not living up to that.
You have the process.
That's right. Mark Richt has foregone the process a long time ago, and I think another problem, too, is Georgia, you know, writers can say all day long, Mark Richt will never get fired. But that current begins to turn in the fan base.
If he loses at Starkville, I don't care what you say. The seat is ridiculously on fire.
Well,
and you can have all the sunshine pumpers you want, like your Mark Schlabaugh's, your David Pollock's.
Well, you know, I'd love to have David Pollock on the show. I'm sure he would not come, but I would love to ask him if he really believes that he can go 2-9, because come on, any coach in the SEC except for Robbie Caldwell going 2-9 is not gonna cut it.
Enough on Georgia. Let's get to the game that matters this week.
That's right. Okay,
Florida, Kentucky.
That's right. No. You're wrong, Sears. It's UAB Tennessee.
Oh, it's UAB Tennessee. That's right. Go Blazers.
These are the matchups this week, as we just mentioned. Will they have any ratings for this game? UAB Tennessee.
It'll be big in East Tennessee.
And Southside, yeah. Alabama at Arkansas, the next SEC game to kick off at 2:30 on CBS. Ben Hill Griffin Stadium is the site of the Kentucky at Florida game, a very intriguing game, and we will get into that one in a little while. We've already talked a little bit about it from Davis Wade Stadium at 6:30, Georgia and Mississippi State.
I'm going to go with the Bulldogs in this one.
Absolutely. I picked the Tigers last week, and I was 1-for-1. So.
Exactly.
Well, a couple of non-mention games. Ole Miss, Fresno State. Oh, wait. That's not a non-mention. Never mind. It's just been moved to on the table.
On the table?
What do you say? We have to pick it. I mean, Ole Miss has made it hard on us. South Carolina at Auburn, and late game LSU and West Virginia. Well, let's talk. You're taking Tennessee.
I'm taking UAB.
You're
I'm sorry. I'm going to take Tennessee. You're right. Okay.
I was about to say you're upset. You're so upset happy today, but let's not. Man, you want to save yourself a little bit for next week. He's going to take Tennessee. I don't think UAB has enough for him, but I do think, as you do, they can play with Tennessee for a little while. And I'm going to take Ole Miss. I know you're taking Fresno, but I just have to take Ole Miss.
I like Pat Hill.
I do too, but I think
Pat Hill uses the mustache to his advantage.
All right, 8:00, late game, West Virginia playing at LSU.
LSU at home.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you're talking about. I mean, this game may not get over till 12:00 in the morning. I mean,
this team is one of the weirdest teams out there.
I'm going to take LSU too. I don't see any way that playing a game at midnight they're going to lose in Tiger Stadium. Davis Wade Stadium, you're taking Mississippi State. I am not so bold, but I do think it's going to be a very tough game, and I'm taking Georgia.
It's on CSS for all of you charter customers out there.
I think I heard you right a couple minutes ago. Did you say you're taking Kentucky too?
I'm going to take Kentucky. I think Joker Phillips has that team primed for an upset.
To be honest, I wouldn't be surprised, but do I think it's going to happen? No, I'm taking the Gators. All right, the contest we had Jeffrey Lee to help preview a little earlier. You're taking South Carolina?
I think South Carolina in a close one. I think this game, I don't think a 3.5 line is right. I think it should be a pick 'em.
I think it's going to be a close game. I'm taking, and I agree with you, they should be a pick 'em game. But I'm going to take South Carolina by 2, 28-26. I think by the fourth quarter, Auburn's whole defensive structure in the box will be just worn down, because I think South Carolina is going to show them Lattimore. Alabama, of course, going into Fayetteville.
This game is either going to be an Arkansas upset and a close one, or a Bama blowout.
Offensively, for Alabama, we know what they have to do. I mean, just keep it balanced.
I think Alabama's offense will have no problem against the Arkansas defense. Will Alabama's young secondary, who has not really been tested,
Will they
be able to shut down Mallett? The biggest key is if Alabama can pressure Mallett. When Mallett's pressured, he stunk it up big
legitimately time. Pressure. Because if you have to, and that means pressuring, it means getting to him. Because Alabama is dead last in the SEC right now in sacks with 2. Alabama has not been getting to quarterbacks. And I understand, you're talking about offensive lines of Duke and San Jose State.
To quarterbacks. They have not been completing the tackle. Darius last week had 2 sacks. One, he jumped over the guy, and the guy ducked and went up and threw it. Mm-hmm. And then another one, he just missed the tackle. So they have the opportunities. They're just not wrapping up, which I'm sure Nick Saban is loving their breakdown of fundamental football.
Oh, yeah. Good. Might have been a point of emphasis.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think Mallett is good enough to win this game on his own, but I do not think he can take the pounding that Alabama's going to bring, because I think it's going to be a huge point of emphasis to pound him into submission. Now they're going to miss the blitzes they had last year from Rolando and Javi.
Oh yeah,
because Javi had those blitzes off the corner that he would just wrap up Mallett around the legs, pull him out from underneath, he'd fall down.
And don't forget, Hightower played for a good part of the first half in this game last year.
And then he had the cut block that blew his knee out.
We'll see if they try that again. I wouldn't advise that. But yeah, no, Nick Saban, this is what scares me if I'm an Arkansas fan. You are one-dimensional. Your defense is decent enough to keep around, but it's not anything great. You're one-dimensional offensively. It's Brian Mallett throwing the football to his tall receivers. Okay? Nick Saban is a master at taking your dimension away. And their running statistics are so awful, you've got to establish something else, or I think it's going to be a long day. What's your prediction?
I'm going to say Alabama in a blowout.
My prediction, 31-10. I think Alabama owns Arkansas this week.
I like Alabama 35-7.
I think Arkansas gets three more points than last year, which last year was by far their lowest scoring game of the year against Alabama. And that's what people don't understand. I talk about Ryan Mallett, that. Do you realize he has been kept under containment more against Nick Saban than any other team? So, I think Alabama defensively gets it done. We'll see. Jacob Bunn, David Sears, it's great to be back. It's a great week to be back, too. We'll see you next week.